Something.
Yeah.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to what is officially, never say never, the final meeting of the San Rafael General Plan 2040 Steering Committee in its most officious capacity. So this is our 25th meeting. Congratulations, truly. And thank you. And I know you'll hear from staff also, but thank you for your efforts and participation and attentiveness and for showing up, truly. I mean, it's one thing to show up for 2.5 years in person, and it's a whole other ball of wax when it becomes virtual, when I know that everyone has competing challenges, frankly. Not that we don't all bring challenges, but during a pandemic that like nothing we've ever seen, this is it's a unique thing that we're all gathering, and I think it says a lot about how we feel about our commitments and about our town. So thank you. I want you to think ahead a little to the later in the agenda, because I'm going to look forward to hearing from each of you, and I do mean each of you, that's all 24, with your positive impressions about the process and the work we've done. That'll be later in the agenda. And with that, I think I'll turn it to Barry for the role and the meeting protocol.
Great, thank you, and welcome everybody. I wanted to begin tonight with an overview of our meeting protocol and description of the agenda, kind of the nuts and bolts of how this meeting works. I think most of you were on the May meeting call, and it's similar to that. We don't have Opticos doing a presentation. You get me serving as both your presenter and your meeting administrator, so we'll see how I do with multitasking here. So we'll take roll call in just a moment and have the approval of the April minutes. We then have a presentation on our on the project status, followed by a short committee discussion. Following that item, we're going to walk you through the highlights of what's new in goals, policies, and programs for General Plan 2040. We're going to do that in two parts, similar to what we did with the downtown plan. There we had three parts. In this case, we're going to go through the first set of policies, have some Q&A, and then the second set of policies and have some Q&A. And obviously, it's a very big document. We're not going to tackle the whole thing. I think what we really wanted to do is, first of all, if any of you have immediate questions or reactions to anything you've seen that's popped out of you, so far, to hear from you and field questions or comments. And then we're highlighting some of the things that we think are important and merit some discussion before we break. We also have time later in the meeting for some parting comments, as the chair mentioned. And when we come to the conclusion of that item, we will read into the record any questions or comments that have been entered by the public. We do have attendees at this meeting that are not visible on the screen, but that are able to watch the proceedings of this meeting. A couple of ground rules. The meeting is being recorded. Please keep that in mind. We will be uploading the audio file to our project website after the meeting is concluded. We ask that you keep your microphones on mute during the meeting to improve the audio quality and reduce background noise. Obviously, when we're doing roll call, approving minutes, and when you're called on, you'll need to unmute your microphone. For those unfamiliar with where the mute button is located, it's at the bottom left of your screen. And most of you, I think, have already done these kinds of meetings before, so you know that. We're also asking that you use the raise hand button, which is also, that's in the participants window on your screen. And if you're wanting to make a comment or speak, given the large number of people that are at the meeting, that you use the raise hand button and the chair will recognize you. Maybe not in order, because I think we're not really able to see the sequence of when you raised your hand, but we will try to give everybody a chance to ask a question or make a comment. For the public, we have an opportunity to submit written comments via a Q&A box that's at the bottom of your screen. You can enter comments in the Q&A box. I see now one of our attendees is a panelist. Hang on just one second. Sorry, this is, I am.
I think Kate Powers has a comment also.
Kate, maybe you can ask your comment while I am upgrading Margaret to panelist.
It's Margaret. I got a text. She needs to get in and she's having trouble.
Okay,
thank you.
She is now joining us. So,
thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, great. And I'm just looking at who else is there. Okay, we're good. So with that said, we are looking at about a 2-hour meeting this evening. We invite you to turn your cameras on because we'd like to see you and we'd like you to see us. We're all kind of, I think, you know, it's a little more real when we can see who's in front of us. So please do be visible during the meeting. But again, with the mic on mute. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to our chair. And then I think she's going to turn it right back to me for roll call.
Except to say that I wish I was sitting in a lazy boy like Rafi, but you know, we can't all be so lucky. Why don't we go ahead and take roll?
Great. Okay. DJ Allison.
Here.
Don Blaney. I don't see Don on the call yet. Jenny Broering?
Here.
Mary Beth Bushy?
Here.
Bill Carney?
Here.
Omar Carrera? Is Omar here? Looks like Omar is not yet here. Berenice Davidson?
Here.
Richard Hall?
Here.
Okay. Eric Holm?
Here.
Eleanor Wang?
Here.
Linda Jackson?
Here.
Margaret Johnston?
Here.
Jeff Jones?
Here.
Bonnie Marmer?
Here.
Bob Miller?
Here.
Drew Norton? Stephanie Plant?
Here.
Okay, Kate Powers?
Here.
Jeff Rhodes?
Here.
Jackie Schmidt?
Here.
Roger Smith?
Here.
Sparky Spaeth?
Here.
Karen Strolia?
Here.
And Cecilia Zamora?
Here.
Okay. And, okay, Don Blaney is also here. Don, are you, he just sent me an email saying he's here. Don, can you hear us? He may be participating by phone. We will try and, okay. We're going to count Don as here, although I don't see him on the screen. We'll see if we can figure this out during the discussion. So with that, I will turn it back to the chair. Thank you. 22 present.
Doesn't work when your legal pad sitting on top of the mouse and you can't turn on your microphone. Thank you. 22 present. With that, you have before you two packets of minutes. In April, as you might recall, we met 4 different times in small groups to cover different elements of the plan. And in May, we had our presentation that Barry was just discussing with Opticos presenting a draft of the Downtown Precise Plan. If there are any corrections that you see in any of those meeting minutes that you attended, now would be the time. If you were not present, it is also okay to say yes when we vote to accept the minutes. There's no need to abstain because we will know for which meetings you're voting yes for. We're not gonna do them one at a time. So Barry has been taking excellent role throughout. So we're just gonna do one global acceptance of all of these minutes. Unless at this time anyone had a correction to anything that they read. Okay, I don't see a hand. I think that's silence. With that, I would move that we vote to approve both the meeting summaries from April, of which there were four, and the May minutes from the meeting on May 13th.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
And I assume we have no opposed. Thank you. With that, we have a presentation of our next steps, which will then lead us into a discussion of the beginnings of that full draft of the general plan. So Barry and I are just playing tennis here. We're gonna go back to Barry now.
Okay, great, thank you. And I'm gonna share my screen, provide this presentation, and then we have some time for Q&A after that. Okay. Can everybody see my screen in front of them?
Yes.
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 I hope the answer is yes, because if it's no, then I don't know what to do. So we're gonna trust the technology. Okay, so this is basically a status report on where we go from here. Before we do where we go from here, I wanted to, I wanted to run through where we've been. So this is a slide that takes us back to our bylaws and speaks to what this committee was created to do, which is, I believe, a little bit different than what the steering committee for the general plan 2020 did. The intent of this committee has been to be a sounding board for policies, actions, and priorities. I just copied the list of what the expectations were for committee members from the bylaws and included them on the slide without reading through all of them. I think the key here is that you guys have been tremendous as a sounding board for policies, actions, and priorities. And we're not done yet. So just so you know, although this may be the last formal meeting of all 24 of us, we're not letting you go just yet. And we intend to continue to communicate with you and meet with you in groups to continue our discussion. So as the chair said, we've had 25 meetings over 30 months. We have been on a bus tour. We've had a charrette. We've done small groups. We've done panel discussions. We've had Zoom meetings, which we never in our wildest dreams imagined we would have, and find ourselves now 2.5 years later with a set of draft policies, goals, policies, and programs for consideration. Just again, to recap the flow of how this all has gone, we started with kind of an overview of what the general plan was all about, our issues and challenges as a city. During summer 2018, we spent a lot of time developing guiding principles, and then moved into the land use map and the land use categories. In late 2018 and through the beginning of 2019, we went through a series of audits of General Plan 2020, element by element, and asked for your feedback and provided our own thoughts on each element. And then faced the task of taking your feedback and crafting new policies that tried to balance many different viewpoints and perspectives on the issues we were dealing with. At the same time, we were integrating new topic areas like sea level rise and equity that are, you know, on the front burner today as we think about the future. From that, we moved into the development of policies for each element of the general plan, presented those in late 2019 and early 2020, and received your feedback on the working draft policies, and attempted again to synthesize your input, which I will keep saying this, it's not a consensus process in many cases. We always strive for consensus, but there are many different viewpoints and perspectives, and we did our best to try and capture those in the work product. At the same time, just, you all know that you were double tasked with the input on the downtown precise plan. You are the official steering committee for that process as well. And we intend to keep working with you as that process moves towards its completion also. A shout out to our Gold Star attendees, Bill, Bonnie, Kate, and Jackie. Did not miss a single meeting. You were at all 25, including our virtual subcommittee meetings. So thank you, Linda and Jeff. Only missed one meeting. And again, you guys get extra credit for being there and showing up, and we appreciate that. So what I wanted to do now is briefly turn to the next steps for these four items: General Plan 2040, the Precise Plan, and the EIR, and then just talk a little bit about the adoption process. So I mentioned that we're not done yet. We at the staff level are now drafting the narrative text that goes with each element. We're wrapping up work on the neighborhoods element, and that's being reviewed internally. We are mostly finished with the maps and figures for the general plan, but again, those are mostly in progress and have not been completely proofed or edited or corrected. And then there's an implementation chapter, and I have a slide about that in the second presentation. We do want to encourage steering committee comment on the draft policies. One point that I want to emphasize, and this relates to a letter that was submitted today from Shirley Fisher and a second letter from Petra Plus, and this relates to the level of service standards. Just to emphasize, were we to do it again, we would not have included that policy M2.5 in this document. That is a placeholder that has been in the document since December. We are going to revise the level of service policy based both on the input we've been getting from the community and also a meeting that we have scheduled with the council. It was originally supposed to be actually next Monday, but is now going to happen on July 6th. So we're working on a staff report and recommendations for July 6th that will address the issue of how level of service will be handled in the new general plan. Just wanted to make that, put that out there right away. We are still working toward a draft target completion date at the end of July, and are also working to update the traffic mitigation fee as part of this process. Moving on to the downtown precise plan, the administrative draft was completed in May. You had a presentation on that document on May 13th. We're going to ask a few of you to assist us as we review that administrative draft and then work with our consultants, Opticos Design, to revise that based on our collective comments. And we expect to have additional input from the downtown business community and the preservation community and others during this process, again, working toward completion of that draft in roughly 2 months. The EIR is in progress. The project description has been completed. The EIR, as you may be familiar with these documents, a lot of the content is the setting section, which describes existing conditions. That's all been completed. The forecasts for 2040 for traffic, noise, air quality, and greenhouse gases have been completed. And the consultant is now drafting the impact and mitigation measures for those for that document and is submitting that in batches for staff review. Once we receive a complete public review draft, the intent is to release all three of these documents concurrently. That begins a 45-day formal review process for the EIR, which includes circulation to different state or local agencies, as well as public comment. The discussions of these documents will occur concurrently in the second half of this year with briefings to boards and commissions, neighborhood groups, and so on. Our hope is to have Planning Commission and Council hearings at the end of 2020. And that concludes the overview, and I'm happy to take questions or comments at this time, and I will stop the screen share with that. Okay. Also, I wanted to just respond to Bonnie's question about the deadline for committee comments. We would really like your comments by the end of June, if it is at all possible. Knowing it's a big document, we'll take them if they're a little bit later than that, but for maximum effectiveness, it would be great to get them by the end of June. And keeping in mind, this will continue to be a public review, editable document until it's adopted. So you can submit your comments and November, but the sooner the better is always the answer. And I'll turn it back over to our chair.
Oh, I have another.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
I have one more question. I was sure. going to type it in, but if I can just ask. With regard to the experts with the forecast for greenhouse gases, et cetera, has there been time for them to incorporate any kind of forecast that take into consideration the new normal? Or are these things that kind of all were calculated before, say, March of this year?
The calculations for greenhouse gases may just qualitatively mention that during the last 3 months, we've seen a big decrease because of the current situation, but they're not, the models still presume, I don't want to say business as usual, but we're not redoing the model based on the effects of the pandemic. I think we're looking 20 years out and, the general presumption is that there'll be some return to what we would call the old normal during that time period.
Jeff.
Will there be some sort of timeline for the various different components of the general plan, the EIR and whatnot, and expectations for comment that we can refer to? There's a lot of moving parts. It'd be kind of nice to know when to expect stuff to come out and when to schedule comment.
I think the idea is that you will see, well, with the downtown plan, we have a very intentional approach that we're setting up to get feedback on that document. Less so with the general plan, because most of the information that is yet to be provided is already, if it's not in the policies, it's online in the background reports. So the background reports that are on SantaRafael2040.org have a lot of that context information, existing conditions, if you will, and you're welcome to review and comment on that. But we're not envisioning two separate drafts before another complete draft for steering committee comment before we get to public review of that document.
Roger, I see a virtual hand up. Is that an active hand?
Roger has his hand up.
Yes, I see it.
That's my hand up. I'm trying to
great.
Be
I got
technologically
it.
With it here.
You're with it.
I guess I'm, Barry, motivate me to make any comments. I mean, it's 140 pages. We'll never have a chance to discuss, our respective comments. And, it would be a huge amount of work to go through this document and comment on it. I've already looked at certain things that are of particular interest to me personally, but going through this and giving any kind of feedback seems like it could be a huge amount of time for me and a lot of effort for individuals here, but not very valuable in terms of what the outcome would be.
I guess I would say to review the sections, what you mentioned, there are sections that are of greatest interest to you, but also the sections where you provided specific comments to make sure that we captured your input correctly. And in your case, Roger, I mean, you did provide a lot of input to us and we incorporated a lot of your input. So I would look to you and say, did we get it right? On those topics where you, provided a lot of thoughts and feedback, we would love to hear anything you have, specific to that topic area.
I see a couple things. I see two hands, both Margaret and Jackie, and then there's a comment. So Omar and Don are in the public room.
Oh, okay. And
I don't know if there's a way to move them in or if they actually have to.
I can do it.
You can do it. Okay. So in answer to the question, Kate, in the chat, yes, Barry's going to move them. So Jackie, I think you were one of my two questions. And then Margaret.
Well, wait till Barry's done because it's a question for Barry.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out if Don is in the, sorry, this is a logistical issue. In the attendees room, I don't see him by name, but I see a phone number and it ends in 9272. And I don't, if that's Don, then I will happily upgrade him, but I don't know if that's Don. So maybe you can he can text or message somebody and let me know if he is 9272, in which case I'll do that. Jackie, you can go ahead.
Okay, I'm just, is it not the case that we've had, I mean, I know we've had the opportunity already to comment on previous drafts of almost everything that's in the current new draft. So it's not like this is new stuff to comment on, you know, it's suddenly brand new. And I would encourage everyone to look at the document you sent, which shows the changes that you put in there after committee comments, because that's where you can find the paragraph you may or may not have commented on, and you can see if something was changed or not. And that was really helpful for me. But I'm not planning on going through the entire document all over again, because I think I've already been through it twice.
Thank you. Yes. Linda, can I get to the list, or was that directly related to Jackie? I have two or three people with their hand up waiting. Okay, thanks. Margaret?
Well, one section we haven't...
And I saw you, Roger. Yeah. Sorry, Margaret.
Yeah, one section we haven't seen and had the opportunity to comment on yet is the neighborhoods element. And, you know, I was interested, and I was hoping maybe there'd be other people from the North San Rafael area that are interested in sort of jointly having a chance to review and discuss the North San Rafael portion of the neighborhoods element. And I guess the response I got from you, Barry, when I suggested that was, we all individually have the chance to comment on it. And that isn't a very satisfactory answer to me. I think some group discussion would be very useful. And I think Richard and Kate and anybody else who's particularly interested in North San Rafael, as well as anybody, members of the community that have been giving input, should have a chance to have sort of like a subcommittee review and meeting to discuss that neighborhood element. And if it's just something that doesn't fit into the staff's work schedule, I'd be happy to arrange it. So I'm just throwing that out there. I think that would be useful. And
I'll respond by saying we have, Paul and I have talked about this, Paul and Rafi and I have talked about this, and we do think that a follow-up conversation with interested members of this committee to go through the neighborhoods element is workable. So we'll work with you on that. The hesitation is that we had set up a protocol for that element where we were working directly with HOAs and neighborhood organizations who have submitted quite detailed input on that, and have been working to incorporate that, and we're intending to work with them. So we'll be definitely having some follow-up conversation with a group of committee members on this. My hesitation was mixing the two together, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it would be nice if we could see the comments of all of those groups. Mm-hmm. Because I think there may be some conflicts between what some of us are saying and what some of those groups are saying. It'd be nice to sort of see what the consensus seems to be, right, and consider different comments. We may not all be in agreement, you know, there may not be a complete consensus, but I think the way you get towards a consensus and general support is by having a discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, and then it looks like we have Roger and Linda.
My question is actually more, it's hardware. I would like to get a copy of, I can't print out 140 pages, and I would like a copy of the redline version if I'm gonna try and comment. I can't do this on a computer screen. Is that possible to have one printed?
Yes. I mean, we didn't want to send copies of the printed version to everybody. I think we've stuck with our protocol of keeping this paperless to the extent that we could. But if you would like to have a paper copy, we can make that available to you.
Cecilia is asking if we could name the document we're discussing. I assume we're discussing the red line. Barry, why don't you go ahead and clarify that for
her? It's attachment 3B to the agenda packet, which is named the Compendium of Policies for General Plan 2040. I have my copy around here somewhere. Up. Policy Compendium.
Great, thank you. And then, sorry to keep you waiting, Linda.
No problem. Thank you, Roger, for bringing that up, because I, you know, spend all day on the screen, and the last thing I want to do is spend my spare time on the screen. And so it would, what I would love to have, and I'll just make this request now, but when the maps are available and the draft plan comes out, so we have the whole, because right now we have not seen, we've seen a couple of maps on the screen for a second or two. So those maps are important to know as well. I'd love to have a copy of that draft plan when it goes to the Planning Commission, so you know I can look at the whole and see it three-dimensionally rather than one screen at a time. I would also like to see if there's any, you know, in that list of changes that are made, a recognition that there may be changes to maps as well. And so if a map was substantially revised, that there's some recognition of that, not a list of all the changes, but, you know, minor corrections versus, you know, brand new map.
Right.
Scale of things, so that we know when we're looking at the maps, whether they're just a carryover and an update, or whether they are something new. So that would be my request. And I guess I'd be submitting that request to you or Paul this time, but when it's ready for as a whole.
And if I could just announce that anybody who would like a paper copy of the policies, please do email me and we can have one available. We may ask you to pick it up. But we'll make it as easy as possible for you to do that.
Okay, I have one more hand. Kate.
I had a question about the map since we're talking about them now. I also would like to see the map of the creeks and the channels and waterways and how they're represented, you know, where they're placed in the document, et cetera. And the other thing that I would really like, I thought I mentioned this before, but I might not have. Is I think it would be really valuable to have a map of the public realm, of the streets and public squares and parks and water, the creeks. I think it would be really interesting to see that connected tissue of the city, of where the public connects and has public access to. So I just wanted to put that out there before we're too close to being done. Thank you.
Thank you all. So with that, I think we should move on to the presentation and discussion of these items that we're talking about having virtually or on paper.
Great. Thank you. So I'm just going to move straight into the shared screen again. I just wanted to let Don Blaney know that because he is on his phone, I'm not able to upgrade him to a panelist. Unfortunately, that I don't see the capacity to put a phone participant on unless we just keep him on audio the whole time. I may come back to that, but just wanted to let him know we're working on it.
Okay.
Okay, so ready to move into the next module. Again, a recap of our process, how the policies were developed, starting with guiding principles, going through the policy audit, developing new policies from the comments on the audit, then revising those policies based on your input to get to the draft. We've talked about these two documents already. They are a tracked change policy summary. One thing I wanted to point out about this is that the base document on which the changes are tracked is not General Plan 2020. It is the first draft set of policies that we provided to you, mostly at the end of 2019 and beginning of 2020. So it's changes to what was what was proposed initially. In some cases, the edit that you see as a track change is actually restoring language that was in General Plan 2020. So if you read a policy and said, we like the old policy better, and we put it back, it would show up as a track change because we're tracking the draft new policies. I know that's a little confusing. Okay, this says what I was just talking about. And I also wanted to point out that we have added a number of policies and programs addressing public health emergencies and responding to the impacts of the pandemic. Some of these are, we tried not to include policies and programs that may become dated in 3 months or 4 months as things evolve. These are, I think, longer term, bigger picture issues about things like the design of public transit systems, the design of public space, that are going to be with us for a while, and that may indeed change the rules of the game or planning policy. So we've focused on those issues, but we've also added language to talk about pandemic health emergencies in things like our local hazard mitigation plan and our emergency preparedness planning. Even if it's mentioned in current plans and documents, it's really not mentioned in any way that, you know, that reflects where we are today. So the second document is the compendium of policies with guiding principles. It's the clean version of the goals, policies, and programs. We did include the housing element in the document, although we haven't changed the housing element as part of this, except where necessary for internal consistency. And so there are no substantive changes to the housing element. That's going to happen when the document is updated in accordance with state law, which is next year and in 2022. And we've mentioned previously the elements of the components of the plan that are still missing that we're working on. And we will do whatever we can to work with the committee as these are finalized. So it was interesting to come back to this diagram now 2 years later. We actually developed this in May 2018. There was a first version that was narrative text that we then moved to a graphic. Spent, I think, 3 meetings of the steering committee talking about this diagram and, you know, kind of having a fresh look at it now 2 years later and thinking about whether it still reflects our reality. My thought is that it's still current. And if anybody has comments on this, we would welcome those during the break. Just in terms of the organization of the document, at one of our early meetings, we talked about how we might restructure some of General Plan 2020 into somewhat revised element titles. And we have these on the right-hand side of the screen. You see these kind of 4 major topic areas: our built environment, which is land use, community design, preservation, neighborhoods, our natural environment, and then connecting the city, and then opportunity for all, and then a plan to action section, which is focused on implementation, aligns this a little bit more with the guiding principles, and I think elevates a few topics like climate change. We don't have a sustainability element any longer because we've incorporated sustainability throughout the document. Open space, which was originally going to land in the conservation element, based on feedback from many of you, that wasn't a comfortable fit. And so we have a parks, recreation, and open space element now, which flows a little more smoothly. We had talked about changing the name of the safety element to resilience or environmental hazards. At the end of the day, once the pandemic hit, we thought, nah, it's safety. We're going to call it safety, and we're still going with that. Which is actually the state requirement in any event. So I won't go into more detail on this. This is just to show you where we landed with respect to the organization of the chapters. So just some highlights of the elements in the first half of the document, and then we'll pause for questions on the built environment and natural environment policies. We have 3 major goals. in the land use element, well-managed growth, a complete community, and distinctive neighborhoods. And there is a stronger emphasis in the General Plan 2040 than in the prior plan on climate change and sea level rise, consistent with where we are in the world today. Again, very few map changes outside of downtown San Rafael. I think this was one of the initial charges, is that we were really moving the time horizon forward of General Plan 2020 and not looking at major revisions outside of downtown. The floor area ratio and height map for areas outside of downtown are not changing. There are consistency edits to this element that have been made to reflect the downtown precise plan. And we are maintaining the limits on housing in industrial areas, meaning that housing is not permitted in industrial areas. This was a discussion that we had at a number of our committee meetings. And at the end of the day, the policies and programs do not support residential uses in industrially zoned areas. We've already made some reference to the neighborhoods element. We expect to begin posting chapters of this element to the website next week. And the major difference here, in addition to soliciting input from the neighborhood groups on text revisions, is we are grouping the 30 neighborhoods that are currently listed alphabetically into 5 clusters so that there's a more organic flow between how this element works, so that North San Rafael is treated as a unit and each neighborhood continues to have its own section under that banner heading, but there are also some global policies for the entire area. Same for the San Pedro Peninsula, the central San Rafael neighborhoods, downtown San Rafael, and then the southeast San Rafael and canal areas. In the community preservation and design element, I'm gonna jump to the last bullet because I actually think it's one of the more important ones. Historic preservation was kind of a topic that was landing half in the arts and culture element and half in the community design element. And at one point in this process, we were putting it in with arts and culture. And I have to say, part of the reason we were doing that is to balance the length of the elements. But when you looked at those in their totality, it really, to me, did not work to treat historic preservation with the arts and culture element. It's just the policies and the emphasis of that was so strongly on design and design heritage that we have now put the historic preservation policies as a goal and a set of policies in the community design section of the plan. There was some pretty major reorganization of the content of this element based on feedback from the steering committee. And one of the big topics we talked about when we had our discussion was to clarify the difference between objective standards, which are required by state law, SB 35, for multifamily and mixed use development, and design guidelines. And I think there was a feedback we got that those were sort of mushed together too much and it wasn't really clear how they worked together. We've really tried to separate those and clarify which is, you know, how they work hand in glove and the distinction between those two. And again, you see the 5 goals of this element on the left. Moving on to the natural environment, the conservation and climate change chapter. Some of you may recall we had a steering committee meeting where we broke out into 4 small groups and we attempted to tackle this entire element in a single meeting in 4 small groups. And I want to thank the climate change and sustainability subgroup for making some pretty significant suggestions on how to reorganize this content to make it a little bit more intuitive. And this is what led to the open space conversation moving to a different element of the plan. There is now a goal that specifically deals with water and a goal that specifically deals with energy. We've added what we're calling a climate change crosswalk because it was a little awkward trying to deal with climate change in one place when it's dealt with throughout the plan. So this essentially is a guide to where climate change is addressed in the mobility element and in land use and the other chapters of the plan. There was a lot of conflicting input from the committee on wetlands and wetland policies, and we did our best to respond to your feedback and input. Some of it is going to require some follow-up, and we've identified some programs to continue that conversation into the future. We've also expanded the creek and water quality policies, including some fairly robust green streets policies that were suggested by the water quality subgroup at that meeting. Parks, recreation, and open space. There was, as I mentioned, the open space goal is now included, but we removed the food production policy, which caused some heartburn for folks in the small group meeting. We have clarified the park in lieu standards and the acreage standards based on feedback from the committee. We had some lengthy discussion at our committee meeting about whether or not we should include a table or narrative on park needs in this document, carrying forward information or updating information from General Plan 2020. We did restore and update that information based on the committee's feedback, so you will find a table in the current document that shows areas that have gaps in park service and areas where additional maintenance and rehabilitation of facilities or new facilities are needed until such time that a park's master plan is developed. We also added policies on public-private partnerships, and many of you observed kind of a tension between the open space policies and the wildfire, the habitat policies and the wildfire policies, and we tried to address that tension through language in the policies that mostly recognize that it is a balance between these factors. I only included this just to show you a sample of what the graphics and the maps look like. This is the a map of open space resources in the city. We are using color maps, and to Linda's point earlier, we will make these maps available before the document is printed and highlight the changes from General Plan 2020. In this case, the biggest change is it's in color. Hooray, we can do that in 2020 when it was not really feasible in 2004. The safety element, again, I mentioned we retained the original name. There is a series of policies, and I don't want to say that they're new. They were not in the original draft that we provided to you, but we did provide them to you at a later date, a set of sea level rise policies that have been prepared by staff that are intended to address that issue. I mentioned we added policies and programs on public health emergencies, and also updated and upgraded our evacuation policies based on feedback from the committee. And finally, in this section, we have the noise element. There were some comments at our committee meeting about the acoustical study requirements, which have been clarified. There is a table, kind of a bar chart table in that about the acceptable noise levels, and there were overlaps in the original table, which we've eliminated. We've added language about coordinating review of noise impacts with Marin County, and because there was quite a bit of controversy, at least in the written comments, about the proposal to consider a ban on gas-powered yard equipment, we actually do not have that program in the new element as well. So with that, I'm going to pause for questions and comments. Since we're on this transition slide, this is a plug that I'm going to put in for Youth and Arts. This is the group that was supposed to come to our March meeting and present their vision for 4th Street for us. They actually did a Zoom presentation, and I got to be the judge in that presentation. It was a third grade class, and that's available, I believe, on YouTube. So I'll send you guys the information on that. But it was quite wonderful to see what they had in mind for 4th Street. And with that, we're on to the discussion. Thanks.
Anything earth-shattering come from the third grade for 4th Street that we should know about?
My favorite thing that they had in their presentation is they wanted to drape this sort of like Christo public art sculpture off of 101 as you came into town on 4th Street so that it looked like you were driving through a waterfall. And I mean, it just was very creative and very cool. And they said it'll put San Rafael on the map. And I just thought that's nothing I would have ever thought of. But, you know, it stuck with me.
Well, that's great. Thank you for that. It's fun to have a little different view, right? I don't remember what my 8-year-old self might have been like enough to say. Do we have any questions on Barry's presentation so far, or comments, discussion items? I'll take a regular hand up, a virtual. Oh, there goes a virtual hand up. Let's see, but it's hard for me to figure out who it is. I have to scroll. There we go. Kate. Okay, go ahead, Kate.
I have a comment first on the guiding principles. I do think there are a lot of bullets and there's some redundancy. And I do think that it's worth going back over them one more time. I read through the guiding principles of the city of Pasadena and they're just 7 statements. And I do think that if we were to use a graphic that we could put the statements in the graphic, but combine some of the different topics because they're guiding principles. We don't need education under opportunity for all, and you know, another topic that we could combine them a little bit more. And I intend to submit those comments going forward. The other thing that I wanted to request in kind of a high level is there's a lot of terminology in the land use and community design section that I think would be valuable to have definitions in the back of the document at some point. I, for one, don't know the difference between development standards, development review process, performance standards, and how those are determined, use permit requirements, land use categories in terms of density and intensity standards, plan development zoning process versus plan development zoning districts, and whether those are referring to precise plan or specific plan. So just some of that planning terminology, maybe in the implementation section, doing a list of definitions. And I also think it would be valuable in the final document to have links to in the land use section or the community design section to where somebody could be reading through the general plan and then link on the performance standards for the section that they're reviewing in the general plan. And it could go directly to the city's website on where those performance standards can be found, because I find it difficult myself to find things. Those are my comments.
Thank you.
Can I just respond to one thing that Kate mentioned before we go to the next speaker? I'm completely in agreement with you about the hyperlinks. And one thought that I had as I was preparing the final summary of goals, policies, and programs is there are a lot of cross-references to other policies. And to the extent that we can include hyperlinks, at least in the final document, if not the draft, we will do that. And we will make it much easier to read a policy and be able to click on a hyperlink to get to the reference policy instead of having to thumb through a document to do that.
Okay, and I think Jeff was next with a hand, and then I see Bill too, and I'll keep looking. Go ahead, Jeff.
My comment is regarding the no commission for preservation. And what I'm wondering is, does that preclude having an advisory committee to the Planning Commission?
It does not preclude having an advisory committee. In fact, the language of the text is to consider creating an advisory committee. I think what we heard loud and clear from both the subcommittee in the written comments is there's really not the resources at this time to create an entirely new city commission, and but there might be benefit to having a committee or an expert that is called in as needed, and that is what the text recommends.
Thanks.
Sure, and then I saw Bill's real hand, and then we're gonna go to Linda with a virtual hand and Bob Miller after that. So, Bill.
Yeah, okay, good evening, everybody. Good to see everyone. I was wondering about the form-based code, which is one of the more dramatic changes growing out of this process, and wondering how that will be incorporated in or referenced in the general plan. And I guess along those lines, a general question too about the actual relationship between the general plan and the specific plans, or the precise plans, starting with the downtown that's already in process, et cetera, but also in anticipation of the precise plans that have been requested in North San Rafael and I guess in the canal as well. So how's all that being worked in?
In most cases, in something like the land use element, the document defers to the downtown plan for the detailed information. So for development standards and height, et cetera, there's a cross-reference to, you know, see the downtown precise plan for additional detail. We also have a set of policies in the neighborhoods element that specifically deals with downtown that tries to capture the high-level recommendations of that plan. But I would say on issues related to community design and preservation and land use, that the general plan 2040 really defers to the downtown plan as the source of policy guidance for those areas. We're not repeating that information in the general plan or attempting to re-characterize or recapture it. I mean, at this point, there's no intent to use form-based codes outside of downtown. So for those other planning areas, I think the expectation is that would be either traditional zoning or to be determined later on through a public process.
And did I hear that you would be circulating the next iteration of the downtown plan for review by the steering committee?
We're hoping to convene a subcommittee of steering committee members that will be tasked with having a hard look, particularly at the form-based code. We feel like we've provided feedback and input, but really would like to hear from some of our committee members about those standards.
Thanks, Bill. Linda?
Yeah, just a couple of questions. One is, I just note on the map, we you know, if you're colorblind, the color maps are problematic, which is why we went with black and white. And the other reason was because there probably were more hard copies around, and it's very expensive to do color maps, or it was back then. It may not be quite so much now, but those are the reasons. And I think that if all the maps are going to be in color, there probably should be some sort of note for visually impaired or the people who are colorblind to know how to get the right information that's impossible to read. Our map maker back then was colorblind, so that's why. The other one is, you know, between this one and the next one, the next part here is, have you or will you have a chance to test drive a project to see what changes there might be in the review process compared to what it looks like now, and what changes there might be to fees compared to what it is now, and just using a project that's probably already gone through review, like maybe the hotel downtown or the senior living up in North San Rafael, but just to give an indication of whether we were successful in the other goals of simplifying and clarity for projects.
Good thought.
Okay, and Bob Miller, please.
Yeah, I want to second Kate Power's suggestion for having a map with watersheds, waterways, creeks, pumps, underground pathways for waters, just to see where the water all forms of conveyance of water are. It would help environmentalists by seeing all that in one map. Second is the more general question I have is, there are, as I indicated to you offline, there are a number of people that want to submit more comments on the fire and native plants for the parks, open space, and recreation sections. And were you indicating that end of June is the best time to get those comments in?
Yes, so we would appreciate comments by the end of June. We'll continue to take comments after that. I'm not saying that's a hard deadline. That will guarantee that any comments that you provide are considered in the public review draft. Comments that come in later, end of July, August, et cetera, will be more difficult to include, but they could still be registered as the public review draft is being reviewed by city commissions and council. I would say it's always better to get the changes in before this goes out as a public review draft. So if there's a way to do that before the end of the month, that would be appreciated.
There is, and thank you.
And Bonnie. Bonnie, we can't hear you just yet. You're gonna have to unmute yourself.
Apologies there, sorry. Barry had mentioned new topic areas regarding COVID-19. And I'm just wondering if you could kind of either send us something, either to kind of tell us where they are in the document so we know. Because yes. I assume they're scattered around, and do we have to read everything, to try and figure out what it is that you're referring to?
Yeah, I can do that. And I'll say it's not as simple as just doing a word search for COVID-19 or pandemic, because there are references that you may not see immediately and think, oh, that's because of the pandemic. But they were added for that reason. So think something like the design of public transportation systems for hygiene, for example, is something that was added. So I will do that. I'll send out that highlight.
Because one of the things I'm wondering about is, as we change our mindset for how we use our restaurants, now there's so much takeout and some of them are more like markets and things are just changing in innovative ways that we hadn't expected. And I'm thinking about how the changes might affect our view of the downtown precise plan and how things are going to work downtown and how it might look in the future. So anyway, I don't know whether any of that might have been kind of incorporated yet, or maybe it might be worth sending in a comment at some point. So it'd be helpful to know. Also, I just was reading about, and maybe I'm slow on the uptake on this, SB 1385. And I was wondering about if that were to become law, how would that affect the downtown precise plan in particular? And is there any way to anticipate some kind of change like that? And is there the flexibility in the plan to kind of address it should it be enacted?
Thanks. Yeah, I might ask Paul or Rafi to respond to the SB 1585 question, or else we will look into that and get back to you on that.
It's 1385.
I think that's a disaster type of bill from the state that is.
I'm talking about, it's about residential development in a commercial zone.
Oh, okay. To be honest with you, there are bills that come out and are talked about, daily from the state.
Right.
There's packages of laws that get enacted. Many laws don't get enacted. What we can do is use our best judgment of what laws are currently in effect now when we adopt the plan. If new laws come into place, we'll have to amend and update the general plan periodically as we would do over the years of the life of the plan. The general plan is not static once it's adopted. It will get updated. It will get reviewed. I don't know the specifics of that one. Like I said, there's lots of laws that come out every day, different ideas. And until they get closer to being adopted is when we start to really pay attention to them. So it would be something that, if adopted, we would evaluate, and if there's any changes needed to the general plan, we would make those at that time.
Thank you.
Looks like we have Jeff again.
Should there be some policy in the general plan document regarding the two proposals for establishment of PDAs, one in the Northgate area and one in Southeast San Rafael?
We have language in the plan right now about doing plans for both of those areas, but we're not including any language specific to a PDA. I think that's an active conversation that the council is having, and by the time this gets adopted, it may be appropriate to include language on that, but I would not presume the outcome of that conversation at this time.
Paul, I couldn't tell if you were going to want to add something or.
Yeah, so sorry. I'm working from my iPad and I couldn't find my little bar with all the things on.
I can see your arm and your hand, so I wondered.
Yeah, thank you. I kind of expected that question to come up, and it's a really good one. Right now, I would say we should not include that in the general plan for a couple of reasons. I mean, the way that the PDA tool works is that it could change in terms of boundaries over time. It could be rescinded. And right now we're looking at it primarily for its value as a tool for hopefully financing a deeper dive specific plan for two areas of the city, if indeed we end up designating as such. So there's a lot of what if still. And so, you know, we're opting probably not to do that right now in the general plan.
Seems premature.
Yeah.
Thank you. With that, knowing that we have a second part to Barry's presentation and some lighter content to get to share a little bit at the end, I'd like to leave time for all of that. So I think we should move on.
Okay, thank you. And I will again share my screen so we can move on to the next presentation.
Thanks.
Okay, so we're now in the two major sections of the plan, one dealing with connecting the city and the next dealing with opportunity for all. So we are starting with the mobility element. And we have our goals here on the left, our regional leadership, cleaner transportation, high quality, affordable transit, which are mostly guidance for transit service providers, things that the city does not control, but supports, safe, attractive streets that connect the community, and safe walking and cycling, and well-managed parking. Highlights, I did feel it was important to say that this element got two pages shorter. Because we got a lot of feedback from you that this was too dense and too big and too massive. And although there were some folks who were pulling a little bit the other direction, we were able to merge some of the policy content and some of the program content. I don't think we lost anything, but I believe the flow is a little smoother now with these edits that have been made. We also placed a stronger focus on the cost-benefit issue and cost-benefit analysis, including recognizing safety as a benefit and climate change mitigation and so forth as a benefit. Additional emphasis in the revised policies and I believe a goal on transportation efficiency. Looking at periodic evaluations of our transit policies based on the status of the SMART train and recognizing that we will revisit these policies as necessary as that evolves and changes. There was a policy that caused a lot of, frustration, or maybe not enough, that's the right word, but there was a basically saying you can't do a bike lane if it takes away parking. We have softened that language and I think come up with a language that's a little more balanced on that topic area. And again, this last point, which I mentioned in the first presentation, we are going to the City Council on July 6th for a conversation about how transportation will be measured, transportation impacts will be measured in the future. At this point, the intent is to retain level of service outside of downtown and to include new vehicle miles traveled policies, I should say criteria and thresholds, which are required by state law for environmental impact reports. So I do want to encourage the steering committee members to read that staff report when it comes out the week before that meeting, and then please do attend virtually that city council meeting on July 6th. We may ask for, again, a group of, I think I called it a coffee talk with a subcommittee of this group here beyond that July 6th date to essentially say, here's what we heard from the council, and here is the proposal for how that LOS and VMT policy metric will be baked into General Plan 2040. It's very much in motion right now, and not I will say we should not have included that draft policy M2.5 that was the subject of the letter you saw earlier. That was a holdover from the December draft that does not yet reflect some of the input we've received since that time. Community services and infrastructure, again, a bigger or continued focus on cost-benefit analysis as a factor in deciding how and where to invest in infrastructure and community service improvements. We've included additional language on business and educational partnerships, so essentially encouraging our schools and business community to work together, partnerships with Dominican, and really creating a tighter link between those two components of the community. There is a suggestion to do a police department strategic plan. Has nothing to do with the events of the last week, but it's timely that there is a thought about how to be responsive in the way we deliver police services. More focus on sustainable stormwater management. This would be in the infrastructure policies. So we have a lot of drainage and stormwater policies both here and in conservation. I think we've increased the emphasis on sustainable and natural solutions. We've also added language on microgrids and backup power sources and the hardening of our telecommunication infrastructure. This is all based on committee conversations and feedback that you've provided in writing. Arts and culture, we had the benefit on this topic area of a stakeholder group with about a dozen participants from the arts community, and several steering committee members were present at that meeting. We incorporated their feedback, and there was a lot of it. I mean, there was verbal feedback and there was written feedback from members for those who participated in that. As you all know, we also had a subcommittee that convened in April to talk about those draft policies. Some of the guidance that we've included is less specificity. That's a new one, less specificity in naming places and events so that the document doesn't become obsolete. And already, even on this slide, I took off the picture of the Italian Street Painting Festival and put in something on the art walk instead, case in point. Also, that there be a greater focus on North San Rafael in this chapter because it was seen as being very downtown focused. And so we have expanded conversation about North San Rafael resources and Northgate Mall as a potential arts magnet. Looking at the role of technology in how it is a tool for the arts, and then new funding sources that might be explored in the future related to the arts. Moving into the opportunity section on economic vitality, we have our three goal statements on the left. There was a lot of restoration of the original language from General Plan 2020. I think we maintained the new structure of this document, but in some cases, at the encouragement of our committee members and a CAC meeting where there was some preference expressed to go back to the 2020 language on a couple of particular topic areas. This is one of the chapters where we have some short-term actions on pandemic recovery. I realize that this may not be adopted till the end of the year, but we think these actions and policies are still important enough that regardless of where we are at the end of the year, it's very critical to make a very affirmative statement in the general plan about helping our small businesses recover from what they're going through now and helping the city as a whole in economic recovery moving forward. Again, more emphasis on partnerships and engaging the business community and our brokers and so on in policy development and programs. More emphasis on measurement and measuring the effectiveness of programs. Innovation is another topic that we tried to weave in the latest revisions. And there was a policy that described leveraging our waterfront identity that a couple of folks had issue with as being more of a design policy. But interestingly, it sparked a conversation about the need for a policy to preserve our water-dependent businesses and to recognize that there's a need for canal dredging and there are economic benefits to maintaining waterfront business and commerce that might fit in this element. And so there's policy language on that topic area that was not in the earlier draft. Equity, diversity, and inclusion, which is the newest element of the general plan. And this is partially in response to SB 1000, which is a state law that requires that we address these topics, but also to the very real need for some policies that recognize some of the issues in San Rafael that we addressed in throughout the plan, I think that have been highlighted in the recent pandemic. So we've got language in this document, in this chapter, on healthy communities and environmental justice, on housing security and stability, on achieving equity in the way we deliver services, including police, fire, education, and so on, improving access to education and economic opportunity. So a lot of emphasis on workforce development and a pathway to employment for our youth. And then finally, the goal of an age-friendly community, building in some of the work of age-friendly San Rafael and providing the groundwork for their strategic plan that's now underway. I mentioned earlier that the housing element is not being updated, but to reinforce that this is all one plan and it is cohesive, we did not change the element, but we are including it in this update for the benefit of everybody on this call. The housing element must be updated by state law for a planning period that's going to begin, like I think it's January 1, 2023, that will run for 8 years. And the goal of that process is for the city to show that it has the capacity to meet its fair share of the region's housing needs for each income group. And that's something that's defined by ABAG through a process called the Regional Housing Needs Allocation, or the RENA. As soon as the general plan ends, you're going to start hearing about the RENA, because we've all been warned that the numbers are going to double for cities around the Bay and that we need to be prepared for that. One of the benefits of having General Plan 2040 adopted as we do the housing element is that we will have increased our capacity, especially downtown, to meet those future needs. I mentioned earlier there's an implementation chapter. This is not considered an element of the general plan. In fact, it may not even be adopted as part of the plan. It may be an appendix, but essentially it's a roll-up of all of the action programs in the document and an indication of who is the responsible department, what is the time frame, and what are the resources that the city has to implement the program. This is something that's in General Plan 2020. But it's embedded in each element of the plan. We're pulling that out and putting it in an implementation chapter that can be updated, monitored, and tracked on an ongoing basis. So we'll be able to prepare general plan progress reports with this, essentially this as a pullout chapter of the plan. Okay, that concludes the part two presentation, and I'll turn it back to